For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The dog days of August are here. And the dogs were out versus the Lions this morning. It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Sean Moore as Tiki Barber as Evan enjoys vacation. A big Monday to you, Tiki. Hello.
I mean, dogs, you mean you and Loogie?
Oh, we were dogs.
Over at Giants camp. That's what you're talking about?
We were dogs.
Going to watch the fighting that was taking place, the skirmishes that always happen with joint practices. Always. Because it's the first time you're playing somebody who is not your teammate. And it's not about hurting those guys. I don't think it's anybody wants to get hurt. It's just different. It feels so nice to hit somebody who's not your guy.
Yeah.
Who you don't have to pull up on. Who you don't have to worry about injuring going forward. Again, they're not trying to injure anybody, but it is so nice to play against somebody else.
Yeah, I was really excited to get over to the Giant facility today, knowing it was a joint practice versus a team that a lot of people have already written into the Super Bowl. I mean, let's face it, the Detroit Lions, the runners-up in the NFC a year ago, a team with a lot of fanfare, a lot of people picking them this year to go do special things, your boy Dan Campbell coaching them. So, got to Loogie's apartment 7:30 this morning, bushy tail. Loogie walked out, first time I think he's seen that hour after sleeping in a long time. And we headed off to Giant practice, and it's been the story of the morning now, Tiki. First of all, before we get into the expectations and how they match up, you're right. The skirmishes all over the place, which I had kind of forgotten about driving to practice today. I'd forgotten that teams get into these kind of fights. And the first one happened nearly right in front of us. It was Drew Phillips mixing it up with Amara St. Brown. But that second one happens after Daniel Jones has a pass broken up. Then he's getting in the middle of it. He's getting tugged out of there. Giants show a little fight. Now, I don't know if I want Daniel Jones in the middle of it, but that was really cool to see.
I was surprised at the quarterback that Daniel Jones got to the middle of it. But I can see why he did it. So there's a code between offensive linemen and your quarterback. It should always be this way. I don't care if you like your quarterback or you don't. Well, if you don't, you actually see this not happening. Offensive linemen always defend the quarterback. If he gets hit late, if he gets pushed, if anything untoward happens to your quarterback, it is the offensive lineman's responsibility to go defend his honor, so to speak, even though that's not what we're talking about. You know what I mean? You go defend the quarterback. So to see Daniel Jones when Greg Van Roten is getting worked over by one of these defensive tackles, Daniel Jones, he comes in there like aggressively.
Yeah.
He didn't just like push him off. He came in and hemmed him up a little bit. And then that's what started the skirmish.
Yeah.
Right? It probably would have just been D-tackled center, because I think Roten was playing center at that point.
He was. He played center most
playing
of practice.
Playing center. Just, it would have been a little skirmish, and then it would have stopped. But as soon as Daniel Jones goes flying in there, that's when it became a melee. That's when everybody jumped in, and then you see the quarterback coach pulling him out of there.
Yeah, Shea Tierney.
Shea Tierney, like, dude, what are you doing?
Pulling him out. And it was so noticeable in the red shirt. And then, obviously, there's another one at the end of practice with the Giants defense on the field where Joe Shane is dragging guys out of.
Right.
And, look, fights are fights. It's training camp. That stuff's cool to see. It's entertaining and everything. But the bottom line is this. Loogie could tell you this. And Tiki, you know, you've gotten a feel around it. There is so much uncertainty around the Giants as we start this 2024 campaign. And as we get ready to start this week with the preseason. And I think the uncertainty tends to slant you negatively. And I understand why, right? 6 wins. The team basically telegraphed on a television show for everybody to see that they did think about upgrading a quarterback.
Yep.
There are major questions still. Can the offensive line come together? But, you know, players being injured. A lot of uncertainty in the secondary, which I think is probably the Giants' biggest weakness for what I saw today. But ultimately, This is why you do these joint practices, right? You're tired of practicing up against each other. Starters play less and less in the preseason. How do you match up versus another NFL team at this point? None. When we showed up at the facility today, I'm not going to lie, from the reporters and everybody, a negative, wait till you see what happens with this team versus the Lions. There was a negative aura to what they had seen in camp. There were noticeable players, but overall as a team. And we walked away today, and it feels like every reporter is saying it from ear to king, any fan that was in the stands today. The Giants flat out, Tiki, look like they belong versus the Detroit Lions. And now the question is that a one-day thing, or should we up our expectations
well,
for this team?
That's the hard thing, because this doesn't mean anything. We can talk about how much fight the Giants have and how exciting it is to see the skirmishes and Daniel Jones being a part of this. But the reality is, until you win, until you do it consistently, then you're not going to be taken seriously. And the perfect example is the team that they're scrimmaging against.
Mm-hmm.
So the Detroit Lions 3 years ago, 4 years ago, hired Dan Campbell. And look, they're better, right? They have that fight in them. You can see it. You can see how he talks. You can see how his team responds to him. But they don't go out and set the world on fire. But what they did do was set a culture and set a precedent that as they started to get more and more talent on this team,
mm-hmm.
it culminated in what we saw last year, which is they're a game away from getting to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
In a tight game, obviously, last year in the NFC Championship game. So you know that once the talent gets there, if the culture and the fight is right, then the team has a chance. And so right now, I can't predict what the Giants are going to look like once the season starts. They have some injury issues on the offensive line, even as it is right now.
Yeah.
Evan Neal, who knows if he's ever going to come back? And if he does come back, is he going to play tackle or is he going to stay at guard? Is he going to go to guard? And what's Luminor? Like, there's so many moving parts with this team.
John Michael Schmitz has been out the last week and
exactly
a half.
Exactly right. That's why.
Which is why Van Roten's been at center.
Center. So it doesn't feel like, oh, we got this put together, you know, team right now. But what you have is what I talked about last season with the Giants. They fight, right? They had no business being in some of the games that they were in at the end of the year last year. They just didn't have the talent out there. Your quarterback's hurt. Saquon was banged up at some points of the season. Your wide receiving core is nowhere near what it is now. The offensive line is a group of rotating inferior pieces. Yet they were in games.
Yep.
Right. They had this fight about them, and so the only thing I take away from today from the Giants is that fight is part of their culture.
Okay.
And it's what we saw with the Lions 3 years ago, and it's where you can hope, as long as you keep this thing together and don't get so anxious about firing a coach because of disappointing whatever, you know that the system is right. Like, the program is right. The people are starting to get right, and eventually you'll see success. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I love the fight that this team has.
There's no doubt about it, and we'll take your calls again, 888-808-1019. Expectations on the Giants' year here after that joint practice with the Lions. Look, they're a good coach team. We could say all we want, and we can manufacture this story that Brian Daboll is somehow in a hot seat. He's not. He was the coach of the year 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They won six games with three different quarterbacks last year. We're in so many other ones. And as long as you're a really well-coached team and you show all the guts and everything you pointed out, in the NFL, everybody lives somewhere between 6 to 9 wins, sometimes 10 wins. The Giants should live there.
Right.
But what the Giants have going for them now, which I just saw with my own two eyes, Tommy saw, and obviously, Tiki, you've been by the facility. The word dogs, we joke about, it's the truth. Malik Nabers is different, as the kids say. And I'm not trying to do the overhyping, overdoing anything. We talked to a couple people there that have been there for the Odell camp, the Saquon camp. This is another stratosphere than that. And you saw him. He went 8 for 8 on attempts, targets, catches versus a Lions secondary that's been upgraded. This man is unguardable, Tiki.
We saw it all camp so far.
And it's not like a hidden thing. I mean, he was drafted 5th overall, and people thought he was the best player. But this is a different kind of player that could take a team that would win 6 games. You could add on, let's say, 2 more wins just from the style of play that he brings you and targeting that. And then on the flip side, I haven't even mentioned Brian Burns. It was bacon penne soul all practice long. He just looks different. He's lean. He's different. The Giants are taking all that gut and all that grit, and they have a long way to go talent-wise. But they have more talent as far as, you know, big-time presence players than they did a year ago.
Yeah, I like the cockiness that I'm starting to see. And it's not even like a loud cockiness. It's just a quiet, I'm really damn good.
Yeah.
You feel that about some of these players. And it's hard to develop that unless you come in with a ton of hype. Like I think Brian Burns is coming in here. Like Malik Nabers is coming in here. I remember when I was a rookie, I didn't have that. I was kind of like, dude, I don't belong here. Right? What's my role going to be?
You were one of the short guys that we saw on the field. Right, that nobody knew people
are. Right, I was like, all right, I'm going to return kicks. I know that. But what else am I going to do on it? I didn't have that.
Right.
But as I went on in my career, I developed it.
Right.
Right. Once I was in year 5 and 6, it was weird. I'd come to camp and I just know I was good.
Right.
I feel like the Giants have a handful of players that absolutely know they're good. And that's comforting as a fan, because you know at some point that guy's going to show up. Malik Nabers is going to show up. Brian Burns is going to show up. Kayvon's going to show up. Like these guys are going to make like spectacular eye-opening plays. Now, again, this doesn't guarantee that they're winning 10 games, but it just tells you that it feels different. Right?
Yes.
The Giants feel different than they have in previous years. There's still some of those question marks are still similar because of the offensive line and et cetera.
And the secondary.
Exactly, and the secondary, because it's very young.
Yeah.
More than anything, the secondary is just young.
And oh, by the way, I can't act like everything is positive. Cordell Flott was getting burnt left and right.
He likely can be replaced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, who's the vet?
Nick McLeod's the other guy that played really well for them.
Is Pinnick the oldest?
In the secondary as a safety.
What, 27?
Exactly. It is such a young secondary.
It is a very young secondary. Hopefully, by scheme, defensive scheme that Bowen will set up, Shane Bowen, the new defensive coordinator, it won't be as exposed on that side of the ball. But my biggest point is you have some players who have attitudes, and it's a confidence that you just can't manufacture. You can't fake it, right?
Yeah.
And when you have that, you know you have it, and it shows up in I think opportune moments in a season. So if I'm excited about anything, I haven't seen them practice yet. I've been over there. I actually saw it from the offices, but I didn't go down on the field and see him practice. I'm going to go over there tomorrow like you guys did today.
You got to see neighbors.
And watch the Dan Campbell, inter-squad practice going on. But I feel like there's just dudes that have attitudes on that team right now.
Which is a positive. And now it is time for us to discuss the most controversial topic constantly about the New York Giants, and that's the quarterback Daniel Jones. We mentioned that he was in that skirmish, that he never wanted to see a quarterback in the middle of it. But before we get to what he said after the practice about, you know, his near future, I have to imagine a moment like that, Tiki, where he's involved in show. That's got to show the other guys on the team he's one of us, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, no matter what you think of him, the play, like, he's still, we or fans that call here may not respect Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but they,
that locker room does.
But they, exactly, because he works his butt off.
Right.
I think some circumstances have gone against him health-wise and the entirety of his career that he's been here. But there's one thing that he can control, which will determine how people see him, and that's how hard he works. And the fact that he is always there, whether it's he's working hard on rehab or he's working hard on the field with those guys, you see that. Or in the weight room, you see that. And when you hear these guys talk about him, that's exactly what they say. There's not hesitation about his work ethic. Maybe the hesitation is about him consistently being available.
Yeah.
But the work ethic and the dedication is there. And today, you know, listening to him after that skirmish, he had like a swag about him. Like there was like a
He was feeling himself.
Right, you could tell he was feeling himself. He was comfortable. He was smiling. He was joking. Like he felt like a leader.
Yeah, and he looked like Brock Purdy in the second half of the NFC Championship game versus that defense.
I got to tell you, I like the beard on him too.
Oh, the beard's got him a different kind of swagger. Now he did say post practice he would like to play in the preseason starting Thursday, playing all the preseason games. Loogie and I were at Brian Daboll's pre-practice presser where Daboll was asked about it, and Daboll didn't commit one way or another, but he certainly hinted that we may not see Daniel at all in the preseason. Mm. He said we're going to take everything practice by practice. That was the way I interpreted it.
Right.
When you hear Daniel Jones say he wants to be out there, but you're also doing joint practices versus the Lions, you're going to have another joint practice coming up versus the Jets. Do you think it's imperative off an ACL for Daniel Jones to get out there with whatever the formulation of the offensive line is with Malik Nabers? I know it's a different NFL now, T.
Yeah.
Should Daniel Jones play in the preseason?
I don't think any star should play in the preseason.
Okay.
I know that people are screaming, oh, you got to get a little bit of contact. You got to get hit. But I think the game is different. It's just changed. And the legislation of contact has changed. And the last thing you want to happen in a preseason practice or in a preseason game is somebody trying to make the team off of you. right?
Yeah.
Right? Making a, whatever it is, a big hit, a big moment, a like look at me moment, and it puts you on tape, so to speak. But the, if you're a veteran and a star or the starting quarterback, it's the last thing you need to be made an example of because somebody inexperienced and young does something stupid in a preseason game. So it, to me, it's not imperative.
I think he should play. I think he should play, and if no other reason, he should play with whatever they envision the five starters of the offensive line being. Now, I know John Michael Schmitz is down, but I think it is so important to get that cohesion, whether it's a series, two series. I think every single rep for this team is going to matter, especially when you consider the fact that they start with the Vikings in Washington, and they cannot afford to start in an 0-2 hole when those are the two opponents on you. I want to see this team is ready to go if they are going to give us a season.
I hear, but I fear something stupid happens.
I know.
I do. It's the same thing with the Jets. It's the same thing why Aaron Rodgers likely is not going to play at all in the preseason, because you just fear something stupid.
It could wreck everything. I understand that, but you know what?
That's what you got Tommy DeVito for, right?
He looked good too today. 888-808-1019. Look, so should Daniel Jones play in the preseason? Have your expectations of the Giants changed? Tommy, you know what? You were out of practice with me. Did your expectations change at all?
Well, positive Tommy already predicted 11 wins.
Oh, that's right.
So
I'm
going to stick with the 11 wins. By the way, from the toy department, Brian Dable had the fresh Jordans on. And he was so icy, this necklace he had, dude. Not a bead of sweat on his bald head. He was frosty. He was looking like Cash Money Millionaires out there. Did you see that necklace he was wearing?
He's feeling himself.
He's feeling himself becoming the people's champ again, I would say. Looking slim, too.
He was looking slim. All right, we'll take your calls on that. We're going to get plenty into, obviously, the Mets struggles from the weekend ahead of their big game versus the Cardinals today. The Yankees take 2 of 3. And I have some thoughts, some whispers about Evan Neal after leaving training camp as well, Tiki.
Uh-oh.
I'm starting to worry he may never play another snap for the Giants again. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Sean Moore as Tiki Barber. Tiki, the only other negative I could take out of this day at camp, did a little poking around, asked a couple people. I think there is some real frostiness that has brewed between Evan Neal and the New York Giants. This was the other big takeaway.
Yeah.
Evan Neal, who obviously got misdiagnosed with his ankle, foot, whatever happened at first ended up being. That's the word being used.
It was an ankle sprain, I believe was what they diagnosed it as.
Yeah.
It turned out he needed some surgery.
Yes. So there might have been a little distrust between Evan Neal and the team.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Neal elected this entire offseason to not rehab like Daniel Jones did with the Giants at the facility. He chose his own separate rehab plan. Apparently didn't check in that much with the expectation he'd be ready to go at the beginning of camp.
Yeah, it's all good until you're not ready to go.
Exactly. And the Giants aren't using the word setback, but when asked about it last week, Joe Shane didn't not say there was a setback.
Mm-hmm.
But the feeling I've gotten from people around who have poked ahead is that Evan Neal and the Giants are not at a good place now. And this has led now to the Greg Van Roten signing, that Jermaine Illuminor is not going to lose his right tackle job. And
even if Evan Neal gets healthy.
I think there's not enough time left in camp to do it, and I think it would take Jermaine Illuminor being an outright disaster at right tackle. I think they're all systems go with him at right tackle now, and this is going to be a matter of, for Evan Neal, somebody else getting hurt by the time he's ready to work himself back in. And if that other person doesn't get hurt, if Illuminor and Andrew Thomas are having healthy years, I think that we could get to the end of this year without him taking significant reps on that offensive line, and he shopped a la Zach Wilson was this offseason. Tiki, it's crazy to think about it. I think he might have played his last snap for the Giants.
I hope that that's not the case. Because
I do, too.
It still felt like with Brasillo coming in, that's the new offensive line coach, Carmen Brasillo coming in, and actually somewhat supporting Evan Neal's potential at right tackle. Basically saying you can't, for those that miss it, you can't evaluate an injured player.
Right.
And you can't judge a guy who was terribly coached. That's essentially what Carmen Brasillo said. Essentially saying, I'm going to be better, right? I'm going to teach this kid how to play. And then once he's healthy, then he's going to get his shot at right tackle, right? Illuminor was brought in to be a guard. And or maybe even a swing tackle. And so with him not being healthy yet, and this surgery happened,
I'd have to look at the date.
It was after Daniel Jones' surgery.
Right.
I know that much.
But the surgery happened where they expected him to be ready to go to start
100%.
Camp.
I mean, let's face it. Daniel Jones had ACL surgery.
Right.
And he's taking every single rep with the starters. And so something went awry with the rehab for Evan Neal. And that, unfortunately, is likely going to put him on the outside looking in for starting at right tackle. Now, The question becomes, what does he do? Right? Because you still have his rights for technically two more years, even though I doubt you're getting the fifth year option. But you technically still have him. And the last thing you want to do is waste the first round pick.
Right.
And we've seen this many times. This has happened multiple times. Guy gets drafted to tackle. He's actually more of a grinder. Throw him in a guard, and he'll have some success.
Right. Maybe that's something that Priscilla does work with him this year while he's not starting when eventually he does come back. And maybe that is a solution down the road. But right now, there is definitely a sense that it goes beyond just him not being ready. But now you might have two sides that are not exactly happy with each other.
Yeah.
And whenever that happens, unless there's some good mending this year, that could inevitably lead to an unfortunate divorce. Now, I'll give Joe Shane this before we get to your calls at 888-808-1019. The worst teams that I've seen run in this town for as long as I can remember make a consistent mistake, and that is this. If you draft a guy or you spend big money on a guy and they're your guy, no matter how bad they are, you keep running them out there because of the resource you invested.
Right, you give them a shot.
So if they're not going to do that after 2 years, I actually credit Joe Shane for that. Huh. Because, the team's a better team without him on the field. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you just have to swallow it.
Yeah, that's it.
It sucks. And it really hits your resume.
Right.
If you draft a tackle very high and he doesn't work out, and before you even get to year four, you're ready to move on from him, then that hits your resume. But it almost feels like it's going to be necessary.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that because I defended him. Yeah, look, he's just being taught incorrectly. Right? Yeah, look, he's hurt.
You can't hide on the field playing a tackle position.
No, you're right. Because especially the way that offenses run in today's NFL, there's nobody on the edges.
We're not talking about the second inside linebacker here.
Right. And there's no tight end usually because they're out in the route. The running backs aren't really chipping. They're releasing through the middle of these days. And so there's no help. And so if you're bad, you get exposed if you're a tackle, especially left tackle, but also now right tackle as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 888-808-1019. Chris in Connecticut. Chris, what's up?
Hey, Sean and Tiki, what's going on, boys?
All's good. What's happening?
What's up, Chris?
Tiki, you're one of my all-time favorites. You and Joe Morris are my two favorite Giant running backs of all time.
I like it. You must be short like us.
yeah. So we made our yearly trip down from Connecticut to see Giants training camp with my 11-year-old daughter today. We love to do it every year.
Oh, nice.
Neighbors is the best. We stayed for autographs after. Neighbors must have signed, I don't know how many autographs. He was the last one to leave. He stayed there.
I like
every
that.
Little kid.
That's
like
very good to hear.
That's how you got to do it, especially when you're young. Especially when you're a young player, you got to make yourself known to everybody. So just stay. Just hang out. That's cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. He was there forever. Two quick points. One, on the offensive side of the ball, super pumped. Jones got into the fight today a little bit, roughed it up, right? I mean, if he could stay upright this year, Neighbors is going to go off. He's a dude.
Yeah.
And on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think this is getting enough talk. What I'm most pumped about is our defensive line. Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Sexy Dexy, right? They're going to kill it. We got a young, inexperienced defensive secondary, but we won two Super Bowls because of our defensive line. So I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped for the line.
It's not quite Strahan and OC and Tuck yet, those guys.
No. And it's unfair to compare them, but I will say this. If you were to break down, because you're not practicing Artigi, you know, you can run your 11 on 11s. They did the 7 on 7s and then this drill, that drill. To me, watching a little bit of everything, the one unit that I felt between the two teams that dominated the other unit the most was the Giants defensive line versus the Lions offensive line. And the Lions are supposed to have one of the best offensive lines in football.
Right.
Burns, Thibodeau, and Dexter Lawrence. You're right. It's unfair to compare those guys. It's only a practice.
Of course.
And it's been, but they look.
Right.
And that could be the difference for this team changing game.
No, I didn't see practice yet. Are they running both guys on the edges?
Yep.
So
it's
basically 3-4.
And depending on the play call, there's different, you know, wide nines, as they call it. You know, Burns was taking a lot of big, you know, outside steps. It looked like that was a way to beat Sewell today. But either way, I mean, you could tell the difference in adding a second outside pass rusher, where Aziz Ojulari could never really be on the field, and that's fine. He's the third guy now. But adding a guy like that, it's only going to help Kayvon,
too. You can't turn. You can't turn the offensive line to help one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, you can, but you do it at your own peril. Because one of those guys, either Kayvon or Brian Burns, is going to be single block.
With Dexter in the middle, take a double team.
Right. I guess you could send some your running back help out there, but you lose your outlet. And so, I mean, this is why roster construction is so important in the NFL. And it's why defensive scheme is so important. And putting guys in position where they can excel. So you have two edge rushers who want to be speed rushers, mm-hmm. right? And then that forces as an offense, if you're defending against them, to be wide. And so when you create that wide, that width interiorly, now you have, you know, Sexy Dexy, man, you know, man and man, you know, he can do whatever, he can take gaps, right?
Right.
He doesn't have to two-gap it. Two-gapping is you just basically hold whoever, you know, the offensive lineman is right in front of you. He can take his gaps, and they're protected because they have good linebackers as well. I mean, I'm excited for the defensive front seven.
I am too.
Secondary, obviously, we know it's young, but the defensive front seven should wreak havoc this year for the Giants.
It could be the difference in a couple wins and losses for sure. Rick in Tampa. Rick, what's up?
Guys, what is up? What is up? First of all, you listen, lowballing the Giants, their record. I mean, I'm going on record, at least 10 wins.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I am so at least 10.
They still have holes, Rick. Right. I don't want to, you know, it's great practice, but there's still some holes.
No, at least 10 wins. Okay, you heard it from me first. Okay, the other thing is Malik Nabers. And I think I've told you this before, Sean, is that, you know, living down here in college football world, my daughter married a New Orleans Saint guy who lives and dies LSU, and he told me before the draft, Malik Nabers is the best, and you know, we're talking Chase, we're talking Odell, that they've ever had, and this guy is going to be balling, and I am so excited to see the way he's going to take this team to another level. So with that said, Daniel Jones, come on, Tiki, you know, old school, nobody sat out every single preseason game and stuff. They played.
Yeah.
They played at least a third game, right? We need to play. I mean, stop babying everybody. If he's healthy, he's healthy. We can't go around. We can't afford to lose the first couple games because now we're practicing for real. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying, but I think you simulate that. This is why – who said this? Who said this the other day? And I'm forgetting now. Maybe it was – I think it was Aaron Rodgers, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers said this the other day, and it makes so much sense because – This joint practicing, which we see a lot of now, meaning
it's boomed over the last 5 years.
It's boomed. We never did it. I think I did it twice in my 10 years.
And okay.
I think it was the New England Patriots we did, and then the Jets, but we got in a fight with the Jets. They got in their cars and they went
home.
That's
right. I remember that crazy fight.
It was supposed to be a couple days. It was one day they went home. And so it was insane. Shockey was in the middle of that fight. It was crazy. But the way that they do it now, because the preseason contact in the preseason has been so limited, that the way you simulate a preseason game for the guys that aren't going to play is by having joint practices.
Right.
Right. And so it's the same, except your quarterback can't get hit.
Right.
And so,
and most fans obviously aren't seeing it unless you're at camp.
That's exactly right. And so they're getting the reps. And Aaron Rodgers said this, why he was, I guess, okay with when Robert Saleh said he's not going to play in the preseason. He's like, look, you have these joint practices. It's just, it's basically 20 or 30 reps, whatever it may ultimately be over a two-day period, that you're getting that's like a real game situation, except there's no danger of you getting hit.
Okay,
as a quarterback. I'm just talking about the quarterback. But everybody else, it's kind of full speed. Right,
it is, but it isn't.
I understand.
Like, you're not getting no receiver's getting walloped over the middle of the field from making a catch. Like, to me, But again, I'm not the guy that played.
You're competing at a high level.
You're competing at a high level, but football is still different football. When the lights go on, you're in a stadium. It's not the same.
I've completely flipped on this.
I thought you were old school, like, give me 2 days and give me real preseason games, guy.
But I've completely flipped on this because of how much of a grind the season feels like it's become. And how, I don't know what the reasoning is, but injuries are at an all-time high. You see it every week, I'm talking about the regular season. Some guy gets hurt or has a lingering whatever that keeps him out for a week or 2 weeks. It is such an atrocious sport, and it's gotten even more so. And I don't know if that's preparation, just bodies are soft. I have no idea. But guys get hurt so easily in the NFL. The last thing you want to do is lose some valuable piece in the preseason.
And the Giants have had that happen plenty. Whether it was OC Umanure in 2008, you guys had the Seahorn injury many years ago, and go down the line. I understand
and they
that.
Always feel freak. That's the thing. It's
always freak.
It's a freak injury.
And it's always somebody really important.
Right, but when it's a freak injury to somebody who's paramount to your success, it's not freak. It just sucks.
I think that every team is different when it comes to this. Like, Patrick Mahomes plays every year in the preseason, but if you told me at this point, Patrick Mahomes, we've seen enough.
Yeah.
My only point on the New York Giants is how many times, and we've been there the last couple of years, do we get to the end of September and a talking point, whether it's here with us on the fan or, you know, anybody discussing any of the football games on TV is, you know, these guys just play so much less in the preseason now that the first 4 weeks of September are like that. Yes. So you really figure out what a team is October 1st. You go through that, right? I look at the Giants' first two games this year, Tiki, and I look at the Minnesota Vikings, and I look at the Washington Commanders. And last year, we kept hammering home the term peer-tier. Mm-hmm. Following that, they're going to play at Cleveland on a Thursday night with Dallas, both going to be very formidable opponents. To me, the Giants, if it's, you know, neck and neck, and who knows what Washington's doing, who knows what Minnesota's doing, if I know I can create a competitive edge for me, forget the freak injury part of it, by knowing that I've had more reps in that style of football to win those first two games, those two wins could propel the Giants this year, with two losses could brutally cripple this team this year.
No, you're right. But you just don't know. And I think teams have erred on the side of safety. And call it soft, but I've flipped on this simply because you can't lose good players. And when you do, and they're not, I'd rather have a rusty player than a hurt player come week one, two, or three.
Look, at the same time, the Giants lost Andrew Thomas in week one, Saquon Barkley in week two, and by week six, Daniel Jones was gone. Yes. So I've seen it the other way. Where the injuries are going to happen, they're going to happen.
They're going to happen.
So I would rather be more well-prepared, go in and know I have a competitive edge in weeks one or two. I flipped the other way because I used to be, don't give me freak injuries. Now I'm like, you know what? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I want the best shot possible, the best advantage.
I just know that it's the mentality now. Like, I know how training staffs and players look at it. It's so much about safety. It's like the only thing they talk about.
You're right. And you can see it's evident how many people are wearing Guardian caps now and everything that goes into it.
Right. I think everybody was wearing them, basically.
Yeah, almost. I know Dane Belton wasn't, but I guess it depends on the type of helmet. That was just something I noticed in a second. There was the only one flying around with that one. 888.
It's so weird to me to see all them.
I know. Like, well, they're also making them different this year because you can wear them in the games. You see they're putting the caps on them that match the helmets. Yeah. That I'm okay with.
It's just odd.
It is odd.
It just looks not like the sport that I'm used to.
But hey, if it keeps the flags off and we're keeping football the way you need football, I'm fine with that. 888-808-1019. Should Daniel Jones play in the preseason? Joe and Wantaugh. Joe, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Sean. You hit the nail on the head before. It's a big question I've been always wondering. Why would an owner, who's obviously not dumb, tolerate a GM playing an inferior player just to save his job or pad his resume at the expense of maybe losing more games? Yeah. Why do they do that?
I don't think they're going to. I think that's the point that Sean was making, that it's getting to the point where Evan Neal, whether it's because he's not healthy or he can't get right, is just not going to play.
Right. But this has been going on for a long time in many sports, by the way.
Right, but that's why I'm giving Joe Shane credit. I don't know why they do it. It's probably because they feel like they invested and want to give every last opportunity possible.
True, and let's not forget, last year was Evan Neal's, it's only his second year.
This will be his third.
I know, last year was his second year.
Right.
And so going into that season, last season we were saying, okay, he struggled as a rookie. A lot of rookies struggle.
Right, Andrew Thomas struggled.
It's a different game. And then all of a sudden, it just clicks, or you get used to the speed, or you're coached up in a different way, or whatever it is, and it turns for you. It just never happened, and then he got hurt, and so at some point you wonder when you cut bait when it doesn't feel like it's going to work out, and that's not putting full blame on Evan Neal. Because it could be on the coaching.
Of course it could be. Right? And that's why they were excited to bring in a new offensive line coach 100%. This year.
But if he's not available, so he's not even getting coached because he's not on the field.
And wasn't at the facility all offseason where they could check in on that rehab. Right. And it just seems like there is something fractured there. And ultimately, I'm at this point. I am so tired, Tiki, of year in and year out having to make excuses for the Giants because mm-hmm. I love them, having to find the positives instead of the positives just being so obvious. Just because they drafted Evan Neal to be seventh overall, I root for the uniform at this point. I don't care. If he's not ready to go and they sign Jermaine Illuminor, give me the best football players on the field. Zach in Connecticut. Zach, what's up?
Hey, with the Daniel Jones thing, Jones needs to play at some point. And you kind of got to do it as like a starting pitcher coming back from Tommy John. You got to pitch count him. He hasn't played in God knows how long. Mm-hmm. You got to get him some form of rest. That way he shakes the rust off just a little bit, whether it's a quarter, like two, three drives. You got to do something with him or else the rust is going to be worse than what it is because his rust is harder on than everybody else because he's been out long.
Yeah, no, you're right about it. I mean, he played, what, six games? And so he missed 11 this whole second half of the season, then with three quarters of the season. And he hasn't really done much live. I mean, this is live, but it's not really.
But it's not really.
You can stand there. I mean, you saw it on the big throw to Malik Nabers. Like, there's a defender coming right around him. He doesn't. Yeah. He's ignoring it.
And especially the 7-on-7s, which they've done less of, they did today. There was one clearly that would have been a sack if mm-hmm. it was live. Jersey could tell he held onto the ball too long. But Tiki, him playing off the ACL, if somebody's got to take the hit, I would rather him trust it. Trust that he's planting and driving off of it and taking a hit. I don't want him thinking. Think about it. Every single regular season game, what do you get? 8 drives? Mm-hmm. 9 drives? Depends on the length of drive. Sometimes 11 drives.
Yeah, usually 11 to 12.
Okay. All right. Depending on the length of drives or whatever. The point is, can the Giants afford to have the first 2-3 drives in that first game versus Minnesota? It's going to come down to the last second anyway. B, Daniel Jones figuring out, can I trust my knee? Can I trust my neck? I'd rather him take those hits versus the Jets or whoever else, even if it's not Detroit this week.
I mean, the fortunate thing, and I don't want to like read ahead and roster watch the opponents that the Giants have in the first couple of weeks of the season, but you're getting Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy. And then a rookie and
which is why
Daniel.
They're so important to win.
I agree. But I'm just saying, you know that those guys are going to struggle.
Yes, you which is why I don't want it being evenly matched that way. I want the Giants to walk. I want 2-0. Look, when it can't be 0-2, obviously I'd take 1-1.
Yeah.
If the Giants are 2-0 and they've taken care of business versus teams they should be better than, and Daniel Jones is in full trust, that changes the feel of a whole season, Tiki.
Of course.
Not to over-dramatize, you know, playing in the preseason, but any advantage they can have, I'm looking for here. Because if he's going to get hurt in week two, then he was, or in the third week of the preseason, he's probably going to get hurt in week two. I know freak things happen. I need to be as prepared as possible with this team. No excuses.
I hear you.
I feel like a passion now. See, I was around Campbell and Dable tonight. Now I'm delivering the passion. What's up, Tom?
But what they have going for them this year that they haven't had in the Daniel Jones era is, I would say 95% of the teams they play, the Giants are going to have the best wide receiver on the field.
Oh, that's
get the
sure.
ball to him and figure it out after that. You don't need to be rusty or in it or whatever. Get the ball to him. He's just going to get open.
And
find
by the
him.
Way, isn't that what we always talk about with, I mean, I know we talk about this on our broadcast. How do you get a guy comfortable? Get him some easy completion.
Yes.
You know what I mean? What is that? That's
Golden Tate has been the best receiver Daniel Jones had his entire career.
Right.
Think about that.
Right. Throw him some bubble screens.
Yeah,
right?
That's
throw
it.
Throw him some checkdowns. Throw him some hitches. That just, you know, let the coverage clear out around him and just get rid of the ball as quickly as possible. And then let that athlete, that skilled position athlete, go make something happen. So nobody knows on paper that, or actually on the statistics, whether it was a 3-yard throw or a 30-yard throw. If he makes it into something big, good for him.
Yeah, and I left here Friday, Tiki. I was on the train home, and Anthony Gallo, who we love, does all our digital team, I saw had put something out on FAN and put out my quote thing about how high I was on Nabers, that I think Malik Nabers is already a better player mm-hmm. than Garrett Wilson. Of course, how do you think Jet fans reacted? Let him play a game, blah, blah, blah. But this was my point all along. I didn't think it was a hot take, and as Tommy just alluded to, you watch this guy practice, watch this guy play, and what the Giants are going to have going for him. This is not a matter of, wow, do you think he's going to be? I think this is a rare player, and we saw this 2 years ago with Micah Parsons in training camp with Dallas, where they may not be picked first overall, but by the time you see him on the field for a couple weeks in training camp, you just know.
You just knew.
You just knew it was Micah Parsons,
and it was so frustrating.
And I don't think
we should have taken him.
Right, and I don't think this is a Giants thing, because it feels like the whole league is not talking about this. Anybody who has stopped by Giants camp, you just know watching Malik Nabers.
Every day you see one of those catches.
Yeah.
Dog. Like,
okay, wherever you want to rank him receiver-wise, you know when the NFL does this top 100 thing, Malik Nabers should be in the top 25 next year. Like, that's how special a talent he is.
Yeah, no, you're right. He was great in college, and it should translate. Now, it's funny, because you go look at the college statistics, and it's like, man, how is he only, like, the top seven or eight in the NCAA, in the SEC over the last, like, decade or two? And it's because they had some ballers come out of the SEC.
Of course. Look at LSU alone. Right. Whether it's Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase, and Odell.
Right. Devontae Smith.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, there's been some great players.
Alabama's had a lot of good players.
And just because he's, you know, doesn't measure up statistically. I think he's 300 yards from Devontae Smith, and he's like seventh. So think about that. Think how tight that is. It's 300 yards, and it's like six guys. The dude is just as good as all of those.
His legs are unbelievable. I'm just going to awkward a lot of you. He's an Adonis of a man.
He's got great calves. Johnny Drama from Entourage would have loved his calves. I think between Nabers on offense and Burns on defense, you have guys on each side of the ball that will win you games.
Right.
Yeah.
That to me, that's why this team is different this year, because you have those two guys.
I was watching the videos of Brian Burns, and he's built different, man. He's got these long ass arms. And he's huge, but he's not thick.
No, he's just so tall.
He's tall and long and rangy. Right, you just know he's going
to
do damage.
It makes me go back to some of the camps I've gone to the last couple of years where I realized the Giants didn't have as much talent as I thought they did. This team is more talented.
By the way, I've told you that for the last 2 years. Now you see it.
But you don't need 53 loaded guys, but a guy like that on each side of the ball added to what they already had, whether it was Dexter Lawrence or obviously Andrew Thomas.
Well, think about how you used to have to convince yourself that somebody was good. It was going to be good.
Right.
You had to convince yourself. Now you can just look at some of these players, and it's not everybody, but you can look at some of these players. Dexter Lawrence is a mountain of a human being.
Huge.
Enormous. Right? Kayvon, same thing. You see it in how he walks and his swag. Burns, Malik Nabers. Like you start to see the difference between a good athlete NFL player to guy who has potential to be a star.
Yeah. I'll tell you the other guy who I went in a little negative on today. You mentioned all those guys. The other guy's Tay Banks. You could just tell looking at him. He's a legitimate first-round type player. Mm. And I didn't know what to think of him. He looked different on the field.
Yeah, it's the same thing the Jets had last year or 2 years ago with Garrett Wilson and Sauce.
Yarn.
You just saw it.
Right?
Like, you just looked at the dude. You're like, that guy's a baller.
And that's why we're sitting here 2 years later talking about how talented they are. Right. Those are the building blocks right there.
That guy's a baller.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.